यस माता जी।
वेलकम टू भक्ति संघ कॉन्फ्रेंस कॉल। टुडे वी आर वेरी फॉर्चुनेट टू हैव हिज ग्रेस चैतन्य लीला प्रभु जी। बिफोर हैंड ओवरिंग द कॉल टू प्रभु जी, आई वुड लाइक टू हैंड ओवर द कॉल टू टिफनी माता जी टू गिव द ब्रीफ इंट्रोडक्शन अबाउट प्रभु जी। टिफनी माता जी, यू कैन टेक ओवर द कॉल।
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. His Grace Chaitanya Leela Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. After completing studies from University of Delhi and ITT Kharagpur, Chaitanya Leela Prabhuji gathered a few years of corporate work experience at an IT MNC in Mumbai. Thereafter, he decided to serve the society at large as a resident monk at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir in ISKCON Chaupati, Mumbai. And for the last 12 years, he has been actively involved in sharing the essence of Vedic scriptures with others at a number of corporate, social, and educational enterprises. Back at the temple, Prabhuji also heads up the temple IT department and assists in youth outreach. Hare Krishna, welcome to the call, Prabhuji.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening on the topic. Glories of Pundarika Vidyanidhi and Raghunandan Thakur. I would like to hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Mataji, for this opportunity to serve the devotee. Am I audible, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadapi Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guraho Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaguna Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahaguna Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो वी वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज हियर फॉर दिस Japa conference, Bhakti Sangha Japa conference, and the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Typically, we have this Srimad Bhagavatam verses read out every day. But today I was requested to share something on the glories of Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi and the glories of Sri Raghunandan Thakur. So, tomorrow happens to be the auspicious day of Vasanta Panchami. And Vasanta Panchami is a very special day with many great devotees. They have appeared and it's a very beautiful onset of the spring season, the departure of the winter season, as they say. And typically, if we look at Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find that Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita does not only glorify the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but along with the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in this beautiful masterpiece, he also very elaborately, he describes about the pastimes of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, this is something very special because, you know, typically when we come to Krishna consciousness, when we know about the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when we know about the qualities and characteristics, it is imperative, it is expected that we just hear about the Lord. But then when we look at a literature like Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find that a vast majority of the composition describes about the pastimes and the position of the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why is it that? Why is it so? And why does the author want us to hear about the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? One of our great acharyas, Srila Narottam Das Thakur, he has prayed in one of his songs, in his composition Prarthana. He sings, Gaurangera Sangi Gane Nitya Siddha Karimone Se Jaye Vrajendra Sutapash. And the translation says, anyone who has understood that the associates of Lord Chaitanya are eternally liberated souls immediately become eligible to enter into the abode of Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, in Vrindavan in his next birth. Now, Srila Prabhupada, he has given a purport to this particular song composed by Srila Narottam Das Thakur. And in his purport, Srila Prabhupada, he describes that Sangi Gane, Gaurangera Sangi Gane Nitya Siddha Karimone Se Jaye Vrajendra Sutapas. So Srila Prabhupada defines this Sangi Gane refers to the associates, and he says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he never comes alone. He is always accompanied by his associates, and he quotes the example of the Panchtattva. We see the picture of Panchtattva. He is always present with his associates. Further on in his purport, Srila Prabhupada describes that how in the devotional line, there are three kinds of perfect devotees. I repeat, in the devotional line, there are three kinds of perfect devotees. He explains what are these three kinds of perfect devotees. The very first category, Srila Prabhupada describes, is the sadhana siddha. Who are these sadhana siddha? These devotees who have very rigidly performed the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness, and thereby reach the perfectional stage. And reaching the perfectional stage by executing the regulative principles is what is called sadhana siddha. The second category Srila Prabhupada describes, apart from the sadhana siddha, is the kripa siddha. These devotees may not have executed the regulative principles very rigidly, but by his service mood, the devotee is specifically blessed by the spiritual master or Krishna. He is immediately promoted to the perfectional stage. So the first category is the sadhana siddha. The second is the kripa siddha. The third category of devotee is nitya siddha. One who was never contaminated by the material nature. And Srila Prabhupada explains that, Srila Prabhupada explains that the sadhana siddhas and the kripa siddhas were supposed to have once been in the contamination of material nature, but nitya siddhas never came into contact with the material nature. All the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are nitya siddhas or eternally perfect. Now, when we hear about these three categories of devotees, about the sadhana siddha devotees, about the kripa siddha devotees, and the nitya siddha devotees, if we ask ourselves, where do we fall in? And I just have a running nose today. So definitely none of us fall in the, I can talk about myself, in the nitya siddha stage, because if we look at our habits, if we look at our past conditionings, we find that yes, there had been a lot of contamination of the material nature, and maybe some of them are still, you know, lingering along. So yes, definitely we don't fall in the category of the Nitya Siddha. Then what about the Sadhana Siddha? Have we perfected our sadhana? Are we very rigidly performing our, you know, the regulative principles of bhakti? And when we, you know, have an honest introspection, we understand that maybe yes, we are still to, you know, reach that stage of perfecting our sadhana and becoming a sadhana siddha. But then yes, there is some hope for us when it comes to becoming kripa siddha. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he, you know, gives us that hope that this is very much possible. And therefore, one shouldn't leave any stone unturned when it comes to receive the mercy in whichever form it comes. And one of the very, you know, strong sources of the mercy of the Supreme Lord is through his devotees. And therefore, we find that in all the different purports of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada has very repeatedly, he has described in great detail about the, you know, different places where the different devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, they appeared, and even, you know, what's the type of temple that exists there, how can someone reach over there. And when we discuss about Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Srila Prabhupada writes, there is a place in the district of Chattagram in East Bengal that is known as Hata Hajari. Just look at the amount of detail that Srila Prabhupada embarks onto. There is a place in the district of Chattagram in East Bengal, which is known as Hata Hajari. And a short distance from this place is a village known as Mekhala Gram, in which Pundarik Vidyanidhi's forefathers lived. One can approach Mekhala Gram from Chattagram either on horseback, by bullock cart, or by steamer. The steamer station is known as Annapurna Ghat. The birth of Pundarik Vidyanidhi is about 2 miles southwest of Annapurna Ghat. Such great detail Srila Prabhupada is providing so that the devotees who read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, they can at least reach over there, you know, reach that very place where the mercy of these devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is still available. So yes, we'll spend some time discussing about the life and, you know, the lessons from Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and some time we'll spend on discussing about the life of Raghunandan Thakur. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi is described that he was a disciple of Srila Madhavendra Puri, and he appeared on the day of Vasant Panchami, which happens to be tomorrow. And it is mentioned that, just like we read in the purport, that the original home of Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi was in East Bengal in a village near Dhaka. The name of the village was Baghia. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his commentaries, he writes that the family of Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi were, you know, at odds with another group of Brahmanas at that particular village. And, you know, the family of Pundarik Vidyanidhi was ostracized from that place. And that is how they came towards, and they shifted eventually to Vrindavan. And he writes that even now, some descendants of Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi are present in Vrindavan. And it is described that Pundarik Vidyanidhi is none other than Vrishabhanu Maharaj in Krishna Leela, the father of Srimati Radharani. Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions in the Adi Leela, Bada Sakha Gadadhar Pandit Gosai, Teho Lakshmi Roop Tara Sama Kehonai. No, I'm sorry. Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Bada Sakhi Jani, Yar Naam Laya Prabhu Kandila Apani. Pundarik Vidyanidhi, the third big branch was so dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that in his absence, Lord Chaitanya himself would sometimes cry. And it is explained that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to call him as his father in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And he had given him the title of Premanidhi. And later on, it is explained that Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he became the spiritual master of Gadadhar Pandit. And he was a great friend of Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami. Just give me a couple of minutes. So it is described about Srila Pundarik Vidyanidhi, how Srila Pundarik Vidyanidhi was an epitome of concealed devotion. There are very beautiful pastimes about Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And one of those pastimes is about Gadadhar Pandit, you know, visiting Pundarik Vidyanidhi with Mukunda Dutt. Now, this all is happening in the holy place of Sri Navadvip Dham, where Mukunda Dutt and Gadadhar Pandit, they used to reside. And they never missed an opportunity to associate with any, you know, great devotee who used to visit Navadvip. And therefore, when Gadadhar Pandit, he came to know that a great devotee called Pundarik Vidyanidhi is visiting Navadvip, he goes along with Mukunda Dutt to see Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And like many of us have would have already heard that Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he was he was not apparently visible like a sadhu, although in his heart of hearts he had a very deep devotion for the Supreme Lord. And it is explained that, you know, when Gadadhar Pandit, he goes along with Mukunda Dutt to see Pundarik Vidyanidhi, how does he find the atmosphere, or how does he find the surroundings in which he, you know, happens to see Pundarik Vidyanidhi? It is described that when Gadadhar Pandit, he sees Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he is dressed in opulent silken clothing. His hair is oiled and nicely combed back. He is seated upon a huge silken cushion and he has a water pipe for smoking in front of him. And there are beautiful young women seated around the room. Now when Gadadhar Pandit, he sees this scenario, you know, he's completely bewildered that, you know, what kind of a holy person or what kind of a saintly person could this be? He's surrounded by all kinds of opulences. He's surrounded by all kinds of, very aristocratic setup. And therefore, you know, he has this kind of suspicion that is this really a devotee? Is this really a sadhu? And that is when Mukunda Dutt, he understands the mind of Gadadhar Pandit. And Mukunda Dutt, before Gadadhar Pandit, he speaks a particular verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the verse which glorifies the Supreme Lord as the greatest benedictor. This is from the 10th canto, which glorifies Krishna as the killer of Putana. Ahobakiyam stanakalakutam jigham sayapyayadapi asadhavi lebhe gatindhatri uchitam tatonyam kamba dayalam sharanam vrajema. So when Mukunda Dutt, he recites this particular verse, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, as if, you know, he just falls from his cushion and he starts rolling on the ground, displaying all sorts of ecstatic symptoms. You know, just hearing about Krishna, hearing about this verse, alas, how shall I take shelter of one who is more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana? although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast. So when Pundarik Vidyanidhi hears such a glorification of Krishna, he is like completely flabbergasted and he is like completely, you know, absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. And when Gadadhar Pandit, he sees this, you know, reaction of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Gadadhar Pandit is very much humbled. And he understands that, you know, I was really at fault. And sort of rectification, he accepts as a matter of humility, he accepts Pundarik Vidyanidhi as his spiritual master. Now, this is something which is very important for us to know and understand, that when we, you know, associate with devotees, because of our material conditionings, there is a strong impetus, there is a, you know, sort of a habit to judge them based on how we see them before us. And that is where we could go wrong. As the Shastra says, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyena Bujhai. Even an intelligent person can't understand about the, you know, Kriya and Mudra, about the activities and about the, you know, disposition of a Vaishnava. And therefore, you know, one has to be very cautious. So here we see that even though Pundarik Vidyanidhi was surrounded by all sorts of opulence, still he had that devotion very much concealed within his own heart. There is another pastime described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which demonstrates that how Pundarik Vidyanidhi was very much dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So it is described that one time, Pundarik Vidyanidhi along with his friend Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami, they go to the Jagannath temple to see the, to celebrate the festival of Odhana Shasti. Now this festival of Odhana Shasti, this festival indicates that from that particular day forward, a winter covering should be given to Lord Jagannath. And so yes, from the day of Odhana Shasti, a winter covering is given to Lord Jagannath. This covering is directly purchased from a weaver. And according to the Archana Marg, the cloth should first be washed to remove all the starch, and then it can be used to cover the Lord. So the pastime dictates that how, you know, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he saw that Lord Jagannath was given a starched garment. So when Pundarik Vidyanidhi saw that Lord Jagannath was given a starched garment, he became a little hateful. In this way, his mind was polluted. Jagannath Parena Tatha Maduya Vasan Dekhiya Sangrina Haila Vidya Nidhiraman. Sei Ratre Jagannath Balai Asiya Dui Bhai Chada Tare Hasiya Hasiya. So it is described, the Chaitanya Bhagavat describes that, you know, that very night when Pundarik Vidyanidhi had questioned the priest, the pujari, for offering in starched garment without washing it to Lord Jagannath, it is described that night, you know, Lord Jagannath and Lord Balram, they come, Lord Baladev, they come in the dream of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And it is described that, you know, Lord Jagannath sits on his chest and he's like slapping left, right, that why did you chastise my, you know, pujari? So that is how, and Baladev is standing close by and he is encouraging his brother, beat him more. You know, he has tried to defame our pujaris, beat him more. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi is completely shocked. And it is explained that it was not just a dream. That night the brothers, Lord Jagannath, so, That night, the brothers Lord Jagannath and Balaram came to Pundarik Vidyanidhi and smiling began to slap him. Galap Huliya Acharya Antare Ullas Vistari Varniya Chena Vrindavana Das. So Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is explaining that although his cheeks were swollen from the slapping, Pundarik Vidyanidhi was very happy within. It was not just a dream. The next morning when he woke up, he actually found his cheeks in a swollen stage. And it is described that although the cheeks were swollen from the slapping, Pundarik Vidyanidhi was very happy within. And Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami is explaining that this incident has been elaborately described by Thakur Vrindavan Das in his Chaitanya Bhagavat. So yes, when we hear about these, exalted devotees having such intense devotion within their heart, you know, which many a times may not be apparently visible from the outside, and how such devotees, they are very dear to the Supreme Lord. It helps us, it gives us an indication that how, you know, it is so very important to take the association of devotees very, very seriously. Srila Prabhupada gave this beautiful analogy of an unripe mango, that, you know, a mango, a fully ripe mango is very tasty, it's very succulent. But then an unripe mango, you know, is kind of a bitter in taste, is sour in taste. But then if, because that unripe mango is still connected to the tree, it is only a matter of time that that unripe sour mango in a very short period of time is going to, you know, get converted into that succulent, you know, tasty and sweet mango fruit. Similarly, you know, when we associate with devotees all around us, we may be able to see a lot of discrepancies, we may, you know, locate a lot of kind of shortcomings in their own personalities. But then if we can understand that as long as a person is very soundly connected to the parampara, as long as a devotee is very honestly following the, you know, regulations of the path of Krishna consciousness, it is only a matter of time that, you know, he's also going to be a pure devotee in a very short period of time. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada in his Sikshashtakam verses, he gives this, indication. He gives this rule, this mantra, that if we follow, we will be able to chant in a very, very peaceful stage of mind. And he says, Trinad api sunichena taro eva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. What is it that will help us perform kirtan or perform our sadhana in a continuous manner? And that is what, you know, amanina manadena, respecting every devotee, irrespective of, you know, the situation that they may be in. And therefore, many times judging others' devotions by externals could be very, very risky. And typically, you know, we have this, we fall into this trap that, you know, we kind of understand a devotee based on the external appearances or, you know, based on the achievements. You know, if someone is chanting just two rounds, someone is chanting, you know, he's like, we may think he's a beginner, and someone may be chanting 16 rounds for many, many years, he is considered to be a very senior person. But actually, devotion is a matter of heart, because there are so many people, you know, who have this innate devotion within their hearts, and, you know, they may not necessarily be, you know, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra itself. I mean, the whole point is that if we can have a broader mindset of appreciating devotees based on their consciousness, appreciating devotees based on the love and devotion that they have for the Supreme Lord, will not be mistaken, and will be on a safer side to, you know, to give them the proper respect that they deserve. And that is how this particular example of Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi is very, very instructive for all of us to understand that how, even though Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he was present in all, present amidst all sorts of opulences, still for not even a single moment he was away from Krishna. And therefore it is not the opulences themselves or the lack of opulences themselves which define our attachment or detachment. It is, you know, how we are connected to the Supreme Lord deep within our heart. What is our commitment to please the Supreme Lord? What is our, you know, commitment to be very strong in our own practice of Krishna consciousness? So devotion is actually a very internal thing. And that is when, you know, we instead of evaluating based on the externals, if we can evaluate ourselves based on, you know, the internals, I think that will help us go a long way in very soon receiving the mercy of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. So I guess this is what we learned from the beautiful example of Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi, whose appearance day happens to be tomorrow on the day of Vasant Panchami. We'll also discuss something about the glories of Sri Raghunandan Thakur. He's another very great associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'll take a couple of seconds from all of you. So we're discussing about the glories of Sri Raghunandan Thakur. So it is described the identity of Sri Raghunandan Thakur in Sri Kavi Karnapur, who is a very acclaimed writer of the Gaudiya Vaishnava history. Sri Kavi Karnapur, in one of his compositions, the Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, he describes about the position of Sri Raghunandan Thakur. And it is described that Sri Raghunandan Thakur was Kandarpa Manjiri. He was one of Krishna's sons in Dwarka, whose name was Kandarpa in his in the Krishna Leela. And originally, he is an expansion of Pradyumna, the original Chaturvyuha, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, Vasudev. So he is an expansion of Pradyumna. And it is described that the background of Raghunandan Thakur. Raghunandan Thakur was the son of Sri Mukunda Das. And Sri Mukunda Das, along with two of his other brothers, Madhav Das and Sri Narhari Sarkar Thakur, these three brothers, Sri Mukunda Das, Madhav Das, and Sri Narhari Sarkar, these three brothers lived in the village of Sri Khanda, which is close to the present day Katwa. Gram. And it is said that Raghunandan was the son of Sri Mukunda Das, who was born in the year 1432 Sakabda in a village known as Sri Khanda in the Bardhaman district of West Bengal. And once again, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that how this village of Sri Khanda is he describes the exact location of the particular village. So Sri Prabhupada describes that on the Katwa-Bardhaman rail line, the first station west of Katwa is Shripad Shrikhanda, and the second is Shrikhanda. Mukunda's home is about 1 mile from the Srikhanda station. And Raghunandan Thakur also took birth on the day of Vasant Panchami. I remember visiting this beautiful village of Srikhanda along with His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj in one of the Kartik Yatras. And, you know, it is the devotees, they were describing that, of course, when I had been there, it was like we were going there for, you know, another third or fourth time. But then the devotees were describing their experience when they had been for the very first time on the yatra to this Srikhanda Gram. And it is described that when these devotees, you know, when the our Kartik Yatra devotees, they had reached Srikhanda for the very first time, you know, all the residents of Srikhanda Gram, they, when they heard the Harinam Sankirtan and they saw all these, you know, Hare Krishna devotees coming into their village, all the people from this Srikhanda Gram, they came out of their homes with aarti lamps and they were offering aarti to the devotees. You know, such is the devotion still present in such a holy place. And it is described that Sri Mukunda Das himself, he was a very exalted soul, the father of Raghunandan Thakur. Raghunandan Thakur's appearance day is tomorrow, Vasant Panchami. And the father of Raghunandan Thakur, Sri Mukunda Das, it is described that he was himself a very exalted soul. He was a doctor in the court of the then Muslim king. But he was always absorbed in Krishna in whatever work he did. And it is described that one day while Sri Mukunda Das was giving advice to the king, one of the servants of the king, he appeared with a large peacock fan to fan the king. And just by seeing the peacock feathers embedded in that particular fan, Sri Mukunda Das, he fainted in ecstasy. I mean, you know, one really needs to have that sort of an attachment, that sort of a, you know, intense longing for Krishna, that, you know, the moment someone sees anything connected to Krishna, he starts remembering Krishna, he starts missing Krishna to a degree that he faints. And this is what we see in the example of Sri Mukunda Das. Mukunda Das just saw that peacock feather, you know, in the peacock fan, and Mukunda Das, he fainted. And the king immediately, he became very much worried, and he, you know, helped Mukunda Das come back to his normal consciousness, and he asked, you know, what happened? And Sri Mukunda Das, he just, you know, he just dismissed the entire thing that, you know, I have a very rare disease, something like epilepsy, because of which I keep getting these kinds of, you know, attacks kind of a thing. And but the king, he could understand that it's not just some disease or anything. These are actually symptoms of devotion, and he sent Sri Mukunda Das home. So it is described that these three brothers, Sri Mukunda Das, Sri Madhav Das, and Sri Narahari Sarkar, every year they used to go to Jagannath Puri from Srikhanda, Srikhanda Gram, for the festival of Rath Yatra. And in one particular occasion where Mukunda Das, he was meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks Mukunda Das that, you know, oh Mukunda, tell me one thing. Between you and your son Raghunandan, who is the father and who is the son? Now, this may appear to be a very, very unusual question, that how can someone ask that way? That, you know, the father is obviously, he looks like a father and the child is the child. You know, but still Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking, who is the father and who is the son? And without thinking twice, Sri Mukunda Das, he replies to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that definitely Raghunandan is my father. And he gives the reason why he speaks that way. He says that through him, I have found Krishna consciousness. So he is really my father. And even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he attests to it. He says, your judgment is perfectly correct. Whoever gives us Krishna Bhakti is our Guru and is our Father. And that is how, you know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he attests, you know, the answer of Sri Madhavadas and Sri Mukundadas, I'm sorry. And that is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also orders the little Raghunandan to serve the deities without thinking of anything else. But the question is, you know, how could Raghunandan give Krishna Bhakti to his father? So there is this beautiful incident that took place, and it's a very celebrated incident, and I guess most of us have already heard it. But then the more we hear about such incidents, the more it bolsters strengthens our faith in the deity worship of the Supreme Lord. So it is explained that in the village of Srikhanda, in the house of Sri Mukundadas, the worship of the Gopinath deity had been going on for a very long period of time. And it is explained that how, because of his medical duties, one day Sri Mukundadas, he had to go out of his house, and you know, he could understand that particular day he could not offer the bhoga to Lord Gopinath. So he called his son Raghunandan, and he instructed Raghunandan that, you know, I'm going out for this job, which is very important, I can't miss it. And therefore, today you will have to offer bhoga to Lord Gopinath. So very well, Raghunandan very much agreed. And when the father went, the mother prepared the entire bhoga plate and asked Raghunandan to offer it to the deity of Gopinath. So Raghunandan, he took this bhoga plate and he put it before the deity. And, you know, he chanted the mantras and everything. And at last he requested the Lord that, my dear Lord, such is a, you know, elaborate offering that has been prepared for you, please honor it. And when Raghunandan, he spoke with such childish, innocent devotion, the deity of Gopinath actually spoke up. And Sri Gopinath, he spoke to Raghunandan that, you know, you have offered me this bhoga with such love and devotion. I completely accept your offering and I am very much pleased by your offering. But Raghunandan, being a child, he was confused that, you know, you say that you have accepted, but the entire bhoga is still lying over there. I don't understand this business of, you know, eating by seeing. So, you know, you'll have to eat this all up. So then Sri Gopinath, he explains that, yes, I have accepted your offering and this is the prasad that is there. So please take it away. But Sri Raghunandan, he, you know, denied to accept that proposal by the Lord. And he said that I can't, you know, accept your explanation that you can eat through your eyes. And better you eat it, otherwise I'll get a good thrashing from my mother. And that is how, you know, Raghunandan, he very earnestly, he pleaded with the Lord. And just to reciprocate with the innocent devotion of Raghunandan, it is explained that the Gopinath deity actually finished everything that was there on the plate. And Raghunandan was very happy seeing that the Lord had actually accepted and eaten up all the offerings. So Raghunandan came up with the empty plate and gave it to his mother. The mother asked, where is the prasad? He said that everything was eaten by the Lord. But the mother, you know, she kind of had a suspicion that, you know, I don't know what happened inside the altar room. And when Sri Mukundadas, he comes back home, he asks for the prasad, where is the prasad? And, you know, the mother, she replies that better ask your son. So, and she explains the entire thing that took place. And that is when Sri Mukundadas, he could understand that, you know, this small Raghunandan is not an ordinary soul. And just to, you know, test him once again, he says that asked Raghunandan, can you offer this one laddu also to the Supreme Lord, to Lord Gopinath? And Raghunandan once again took this laddu and went before Lord Gopinath. And here was Sri Mukunda, Mukunda Dutt. He was watching from a distance. He was looking in through a window. And once again, small Raghunandan, he, you know, asked the Lord to honor the laddu. And the Lord once again said that, you know, I'm definitely honoring by my glance. So please take it as prasad. But Raghunandan was very insistent that, no, definitely you will have to eat it like the, you know, previous offering you kind of accepted. So again, once again, seeing the innocent devotion of Raghunandan, Lord Gopinath actually came down from the altar. And with his hand, he took and ate half of the laddu that was there. And just then, the Lord saw Sri Mukunda Dutt, you know, seeing from the window. And that is when, you know, he left that other half right in his hand. And when Mukunda Dutt, he saw, you know, he couldn't believe his eyes, what he had just seen. And he ran and he caught hold of Raghunandan and, you know, put up on his lap. And he was feeling so fortunate, you know, to have been blessed by such a, you know, great soul. And that is how it is explained that even when today someone goes to the village of Shrikhanda and one goes, there is the temple of Lord Gopinath still present there. And one can actually see, you know, a kind of replica or a sort of that half eaten laddu is still present in the hand of Lord Gopinath. That place is still there. I still remember visiting that place as well in one of our Kartik Yatras, and it's such a very beautiful place there. So yes, definitely, you know, once again, we can't estimate the devotion of a person based on external appearances, whether it is, you know, the opulences, whether it is the age, or whether it is the devotional performances. So here we see the example of Raghunandan. No, even though he was a child, he had such a high spiritual, you know, merit to him. And therefore, through this pastime, we understand that, you know, the importance of serving the deity form of the Lord. How, you know, even in another pastime in the Madhya Leela, Sri Kaviraj Goswami, he describes that, you know, Pratima nahi tumi sakshad Vrajendra Nandan. He mentions this particular shloka in the pastime of Sakshi Gopal, that the deity form of the Lord is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And therefore, if one very earnestly and sincerely serves the deity form of the Lord, one actually experiences that reciprocation from the Supreme Lord. I'm sorry. There is another pastime of Raghunandan with another devotee, Sri Abhiram Gopal Thakur. Now, who was this devotee, Sri Abhiram Gopal Thakur? It is also explained. It is explained that Sri Abhiram Gopal Thakur, he was a devotee of Lord Nityananda. And he was a great devotee of Lord Nityananda. And on the order of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, he had become a great preacher and a great acharya of Gaudiya Vaishnavism that point of time. And he was a very, very influential personality. So much so that all the atheists and blasphemers were very much afraid of, you know, Sri Abhiram Gopal Thakur. And it is explained that he was so empowered by Sri Nityananda Prabhu that he was always in ecstasy, and he was always kind to all fallen souls. And it is said that if he offered obeisances to any stone other than a bona fide Shaligram Shila, that stone would immediately burst into pieces. That was the potency of Sri Abhiram Gopal Thakur. And it is said that not just the person, even if he offered of his obeisances to some person who was not a pure devotee, that person would immediately die. That was the spiritual potency of Sri Abhiram Gopal Thakur. And he always carried with him a stick, a short stick. The name of the stick was Jai Mangal. It is said that anyone whom he used to beat with that stick would get pure devotion. So now, why are we discussing about this great personality here? Because it so happened that one time, Sri Abhiram Gopal Thakur, he wished to visit Shrikhanda and see Raghunandan, small Raghunandan. So when Sri Abhiram Gopal Thakur, he came to Shrikhanda and he approached the house of Sri Mukunda Dutt, the parents very much knew about the immense spiritual potency of Sri Abhiram Gopal Thakur, and they were very fearful that what if this personality, you know, offers his obeisances to small Raghunandan, immediately the child would die. And therefore, the parents, they hid the child and they spoke a lie to Abhiram Gopal Thakur, saying that the child is not present here. And being very much feeling disappointed, Abhiram Gopal Thakur actually departed from that very place. But then it is explained that when small Raghunandan, he came to know about the when small Raghunandan, he heard that Abhiram Gopal Thakur had come to meet him. You know, he just ran out of his house and, you know, he just ran to catch and meet Abhiram Gopal Thakur. And that is when it is described that finally he met him at Bodo Danga. And Abhiram Gopal Thakur, he paid his obeisances to Raghunandan. And lo and behold, nothing happened. And that is when it is described that they danced together in ecstasy. And another pastime took place, that while dancing along with the dance of Raghunandan and Abhiram Gopal Thakur, it is explained that while dancing, Raghunandan's nupur, or the ankle bracelet, came off and fell down at a place known as Akai Hat. And today there is a temple that is known as Nupur Sarovar. There is a Sarovar there, Nupur Sarovar. And still to this date, this Nupur is worshipped at that very place near Shrikhanda. So once again, we find that, you know, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is replete with the descriptions of the greatness and the spiritual potencies of, you know, such exalted souls. And, you know, if we can just beg for their mercy, you know, that is when, you know, we get that kripa of the Supreme Lord through his devotees. The, you know, just like we may not have the capacity to, you know, go near the sun, but when the sun comes to us through the medium of the sun rays, that is when we benefit from the heat and light of the sun. So similarly, you know, we may not be having the capacity, we may not be having the, you know, capability to get close to the Supreme Lord himself. But if we can manage to please and, you know, pray to the devotees of the Lord, because they are connected to the Supreme Lord, you know, we can also aspire to receive some kripa of these devotees. And in such a manner, and by doing so, we can also, you know, aspire to please the Supreme Lord in the best possible manner. So I think with those words, I'd like to stop here itself. I'd like to once again thank all the devotees for being here this morning, and my apologies for the interruptions today. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Gaur Bhaktavinda ki jai.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful class. Instead of severe cold and cough also, you have joined us and gave us such a beautiful glorification of Pundarika Vidyanidhi and Raghunandan Thakur. Are you okay to take some couple questions or realizations from the devotees, Prabhuji?
I think
are you...
we'll skip Prabhuji. It for today.
Yes, Prabhuji. Okay, no problem.
Thank you so much.
So, from all the devotees, we thank you so much, Prabhuji. Yes, Mataji.
Yeah, thank you so much. I just wanted to say thank you to Prabhuji. And instead, you are not well, but still you give class and you give so much importance to your service. When we came to Radha Gopinath Temple, how nicely you serve us. I still remember, I cannot forget that thing. So thank you so much, Prabhuji. We are very, very grateful to your service and all this personality you explained so nicely. They appeared like they are from different world. I see Peacock Feather every day, but nothing happens to me. Such a hard-hearted, but...
Me too. Nothing happens to me as well. we are together, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Gachapatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Vaishnav Vrindiki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Chaitanya Leela Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, once again.
Thank you very much, Prabhu.